I was the last person to see Mikey that night, and I was the person to find him in our home, overdosed, and that's a real eye opener.
His grace, drug addiction, and the loss of a loved one.
There was a day that Mike and I went, we took a ride and had to take some stuff to the landfill. His dad, he says, I'm in really deep. And I didn't understand, of course. And I said, what do you mean? He says, I've been using heroin.
We are the Beards. We have five children. Mikey, he is our second oldest, walks in a room and lights the room up completely. Big kid, he's 6 foot whatever, and you know, you would think that he'd be the bully in the room, and yet he was the one always finding the one that maybe felt picked on and was his buddy.
Mikey was very athletic, loved sports, was very into mechanical things. He liked to build, he liked to go fast, he liked to make his bike the custom, you know, the coolest bike on the block.
I think when things started changing for Mikey was in his high school years. You know, we started noticing just the perky guy that he always had been, and all of a sudden was losing interest in wanting to finish his schoolwork and wanting to finish his scouting. Mikey was one step away from earning his Eagle Scout.
And a lot of it had to do with some of the friends that he was starting to choose and hang around too.
And then some of these parties after football games, he allowed himself to try things. You know, things start getting passed around at these parties. I mean, they just do. Opiates, pain pills people would get from their parents. In some ways, I think he felt he was invincible. One night, we had a police officer show up at our front door at, 2 a.m. or so, with Mikey on arm, and he had been down in the neighborhood below us with some friends and got caught drinking, and they had tried marijuana.
You know, we confronted him and, of course, did the, you know, you're grounded, the whole discipline type thing.
He dropped out of football. He dropped out of scouting. You know, before we knew it, he dropped out of high school in his senior year. So it spiraled. You just don't want to believe it. It's your child. Your child's never done this to you before. So by the time you're picking up on it, it's already in a lot deeper than you realize.
You know, it was really hard for a while. You know, I beat myself up. You know, what did I do wrong? Why am I not a better dad? You know, the whole thing. But the ultimate and bottom line is there's consequences for the choices that we make in life.
They will get real creative in their hiding. They're lying.
Through some of our talks, though, with him, I mean, it seemed like he wanted to not disappoint us. You know, of course, when he dropped out of high school, I basically told him, well, you need to get a job. I think he just kind of started finding those friends no matter where he was. And we noticed that it was getting a little bit deeper, a little bit more than, you know, and we thought, well, maybe we can help him fix this by getting him out of this situation. At that point in time, we chose to move our family to a different state. Mikey went to work for a company down there, and one of the co-workers that he was spent a lot of time with there in the store had a heroin addiction. It was a little bit less expensive to get than the prescription drugs, and some of the things that we noticed around the house was a lot of our material things missing, our aluminum foil, some jewelry, some guns, just, you know, PlayStations, and actually a lot of the games he was taking from his brothers. There was a day that Mike and I we took a ride and had to take some stuff to the landfill. He said to me, he says, Dad, he says, I'm in really deep. He says, I've been using heroin. And he said he wanted to get help. And we both just really broke down and had a cry driving down the road. Jill and I called her and I says, what are you doing? And Mikey and I were on our way home. And I says, well, you better sit down because this is what's going on.
Our bishop at the time was, by profession, he was a family doctor. We called him in kind of a panic state, not understanding what you do. He said, what Mikey is doing now is not something that you can just turn off. If he did, he would be the first one ever. By the time you get him to a detox facility, he will have changed his mind. I said, nope. Just, I don't believe it. Just give me the address. I will take him there right now. And we got there, and he didn't last more than a few minutes, and he took off. I will never forget when I called my bishop back and said, this is what happened. And he said, Jill, the sooner you guys recognize this is not the same person, the sooner he will get that help that he needs. I was determined. I'm mom. I know better. I know my son better than this. We wanted it more than he physically could handle. And even though he wanted it, he didn't have the strength to overcome it.
That's when we actually had him arrested. They arrested him, but the next day they let him out of jail because they didn't have the facilities. The problem is so bad down there, they just didn't have the facilities to hold him. And so at that point in time, we really had to make a tough decision, and that was to just flat out kick him out. We prayed about it. We had to know that was the right thing to do. First of all, having him arrested was very hard. And then kicking him out, knowing he didn't have anywhere to go other than these so-called friends, that he could stay at their house and continue to do the same things he's doing.
3 months of him being on the streets, we got a phone call from him. He had borrowed someone's phone, and he sounded real weak on the phone. And he says, Mom, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I can't fight anymore. He says, every day is just getting up, and it's a job to get that, what I need. Mike and I dropped everything and went and picked him up. And when we saw him, it was the biggest shock. He was 75 pounds lighter. And we brought him back here to Utah. Getting up here was quite a difficult process for him, and so he overdosed. Fortunately, a police officer stayed with him at the hospital when he was taken to the hospital. And at that point in time, that was the change that he needed. He was given the opportunity to sit in jail here. What we did as a family at that point was we took a step of not visiting him. And so he sat through the holidays. That's when he hit his low. And he finally recognized that he was losing his family. He was losing everything that meant anything to him. But last Memorial Day, Mike had what you call the bad day. He just simply did it one time to try and just numb things a little bit. But because he was so clean at that time, his system couldn't handle that one time. And so he passed away on Memorial Day.
I was the last person to see Mikey that night, Sunday night. And I was the person to find him in our home, overdosed. And that's a real eye-opener. We've realized through this experience that all of us have challenges to overcome, every single one of us. And whether it's an addiction just the simplest things, we're here in this life to overcome our challenges and become stronger. And we've, through our faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ, and knowing the price that He's paid for us and for everybody on this earth, and Mikey, that's helped us kind of get through some of the tough times.
The pain never goes away. You walk around feeling like you have a hole kind of right through you that never closes up. It just continues to be there. But there's always this softening that as soon as you think about the hole that's there, there's also this feeling that you're being comforted as well.
And through trying to help other people, that's really the thing that helps us to continue on and to try to forget about that pain. Let that pain just kind of be in the background while we're trying to, help and educate other people so they don't have to have, maybe not have as much pain.
To listen to more episodes of His Grace, visit MormonChannel.org.